This evening we're going to talk about people in revival. What happens to people in revival? Revival is a sovereign move of God. Are you hearing this? Revival is a sovereign move of God. It's not something you and I can plan. It's something that God does by His Spirit. You and I can lay the proper foundations. You and I can allow the things to happen on the ground. We can prepare the ignitable materials. But it's God who has to move. Amen. Fire cannot come. We can build the wood. We can build the altar. We can establish the sacrifice. But God who sends down fire, even He is God. Amen. The power belongs to Him. So we find that we're talking about here in this chapter about a sovereign move of God, which is the intervention of God in the affairs of men. Revival, a sovereign move of God, is the intervention of God in the affairs of men. Why does He do that? To bring adjustment, alignment, and precision in order to bring man into a place of yieldedness to Him. I say this again, revival is a sovereign move of God into the affairs of men. He intervenes into the life of man so that man can be adjusted. Are you hearing this? Guys, are you hearing this? Okay. Some of you sitting down and shaking your legs, you thought that's a response. I don't want people to respond by shaking their legs. The response is, yeah. You're taking too much of a comfortable position. I forgive you this round. It's the intervention of God into the affairs of men. Why? He wants to bring adjustment. He wants to bring a realignment. He wants to bring precision into the lives of people, because people often walk out. They walk out of all that God has planned. They all the while be knocked by some situation or circumstances to get out from where they are. They lose their sharpness. They lose their agility. They lose their precision. And so often they are off the road. They have missed the mark. But God in His mercy comes down and intervenes into the affairs of men to adjust men. Amen. To align us, to pull us back into His plan, to pull us back into His purpose, so that we can make a voluntary decision and said, God, I'm going to choose Your way of life. I'm going to choose Your plan. I'm going to choose Your purpose. And when that begins to happen, we have revival in our hands. God is doing the work of reviving. He is trying to bring us back into a voluntary position of choosing to do His will. But first, He intervenes into the affairs of man. Man are going in a certain direction. God comes in there. He jumps into the affairs of man. He jumps into present time, so that He can arrest the attention of men to make choices. Hey, I'm out of the plans and purposes of God. I'm out of from where He is leading. I'm away from what He is asking me to do. I got to come in. That's when revival begins. Can you say amen to that? See, all of us need that adjustment. I said all of us need that adjustment. Are you hearing this? All of us need that adjustment, that realigning, that precision, that sharpness. And that's why the book of Acts chapter 1, chapter 2 are very essential times. Because if God cannot bring men back to the place of where He wants them to be, He cannot start what He wants to do. That's why revival begins even before the outpouring. God has to revive them. He has to restore them. He has to refresh them. He has to renew them before He can fill them and send them out. Are you hearing me? And God, this is not everything there is to it. This is adjustment time. This 1 month is adjustment time. This 1 month is to bring you back to precision. My friend, this is nothing. I'm telling you, this is nothing compared to what's going to be poured out. Because if you're not adjusted, God can't pour. I mean, every time you want to pour something into a glass, you got to adjust with the position of the glass so that you can turn the jug where the glass is, or else it's going to spill over. God don't want revival to die. He doesn't want revival to be lost. He doesn't want all that He poured out to be squandered away. He wants it to enter into the lives of people so that He will quench the thirst of thousands and thousands of others all around. Do you understand this? That's why revival is very powerful. And we can see in these verses of scripture what happens to people in revival. Amen? What will happen so that everyone who is adjusted, who come to a voluntary position of choosing to do His will here on this earth, has now made a choice and said, God, this is where we want to go. This is what we have chosen. We are with You. We make adjustments. If this is wrong, we change. If that is wrong, we change. If this is the way to go, we're going to pray. We're going to get everything adjusted, because we want to come into a place where You can take us from here. My friend, that's revival. Are you listening to me? See, sometimes we think revival is getting the whole nation saved. No, 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 it's not. That's not revival. Because in the book of Acts, it tells us this, that there's much of Jerusalem was not saved. Sometimes we have all kinds of confusion. We think everybody becomes Christian and everybody becomes Christian. There's no more temples. There is no more, you know, a natural education. Everything you read Bibles, all the songs in the supermarket are Christian songs. I know what you're thinking. That's what you would do if there's revival in your country. You remove every kind of thing. Nobody will have any rules. Nobody will be able to go anywhere. It will be like in the days of Constantine. Everybody will be forced to go to church. Is that what you're thinking? I'm sure that's what you're thinking. We get everybody into the thing. You see, revival is to give people a chance to make a choice. God intervenes in the affairs of men, not to force them, to push them behind and twist the arms, but He gives them a choice so that men can come into a place where they make a decision. They stand in the valley of decision, but they have to make the choice. But He will demonstrate. He will begin to manifest His glory. He will begin to manifest His power. But every man will have to make a choice. It is not done by the church. It is done by Him. God will allow that. But when the church tries to push everybody into that, then we have a wrong picture of what it should be. Are you hearing? People in revival. Let me just show you a few very important things tonight. What happens to people in revival? The first thing is we find in verse 2 and verse 3, until the day when He was taken up to heaven, after He had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom He had chosen. To this He also presented Himself alive after His sufferings by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. One of the things that happened to us if we are people in revival is this. People are touched by the reality of the resurrected Christ. With many convincing proofs, it was made known to them for 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus is alive. Are you hearing me? This is one of the things that happened for those who come into the place of revival. They begin to understand. They begin to know firsthand. They begin to know by experience that Christ is risen. The power of the resurrected Christ must become so manifested to us that there is no doubt whatsoever that He is risen. And this is the thing that happened to them in the book of Acts. This is the sign of revival breaking out in the hearts of people. People began to understand He who died is now risen from the dead. Are you hearing this? And this is the encounter that you and I must have. 40 days and 40 nights. It's not just 30 days and 30 nights. There's another extra 10, plus another 10. They waited in the presence of God in prayer and fasting, believing God for the 50 days of the outpouring. Why don't you take another 20 days after you leave the school and ask the Lord for that 20 days of extra encounter with Him? So you take another 30 days here, plus another 20 days out there. Then you got the same day of Pentecost, 50 days. Hallelujah. How about that? Oh, some people are telling me, oh, after these 30 days, I'm going to take a break. Oh, that's when you break. People must come to a place where they understand the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew for 40 days and 40 nights, they met the resurrected Christ. Can you imagine? He came to give them Bible study. He spoke to them for 40 days and 40 nights. He explained to them about the kingdom of God. He unfolded to them the mysteries of the things that He did. For 40 days and 40 nights, being taught by the resurrected Christ. What an encounter that left, they removed every kind of doubt from their mind, every kind of fear from their mind. They no longer had to stay within closed doors because now they're going to open the door and let everybody know what's going to happen. What a confidence that came into their hearts. They were all hiding after Jesus' death. But after 40 days and 40 nights, they were getting ready to open up everything that is here. When the day of Pentecost comes, they're going to open the doors and said, come on guys, it's time to enter in. Nobody can do that unless there are people in revival. If you're going to be, you and I are going to be people in revival, we must come to that place of encounter. Supernatural manifestations of God. The knowing of the resurrected Christ, the power, His grace. Along these areas. It is something that you and I got to persist for. The supernatural encounters with Him. not just to know Jesus in our head, not just to know Jesus with a few words jumping out of the Bible, but to know the resurrected Christ, to walk with Him, to hear Him, to talk to Him, to feel His presence round about us, to put our hands into His side and to begin to touch those nail-pierced hands, to have those kind of encounters. This is what allows you and I to be recipients of the outpouring that is going to take place in the last days. Think seriously, friends. Don't just settle for a superficial relationship. Oh, I know Jesus. There's like way there in the head. Walk with the resurrected Christ. Find a place of encounter. Find a place where you can be saturated for 40 days and 40 nights. He's opening up the scriptures and opening up words to you. He's revealing Himself to you in ways that has never happened before. When that begins to come into your heart, then you are ready, friends, for the great outpouring in the Holy Ghost. People in revival always come into a place where they are meeting the resurrected Christ on an ongoing basis. Amen? Every day, every hour, every time, they are coming in contact with the resurrected Christ. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus met so many different people, including Peter, James, and John, and met them on different occasions. Thomas on his own. The two disciples going out from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Jesus met them because the meeting of the resurrected Christ was essential for the formation of lives. You see, even today, if you really, really think about the apostolic, or you ask anybody, and those who come from an old school of thought patterns, in like the forefathers, right from the days of the book of Acts, an apostle is one who has met Christ. Are you hearing me? Apostle is one who has met Christ. This is the basic qualification. Today, apostle is one who is sent. Whether he meets Christ or not does not matter. As long as he met the board, fulfilled the requirements, he is an apostle. But in those days, when they talk about an apostle, have you met Christ? That's why Paul said, Christ appeared to me last. That was the authenticity of what they were as apostles. Christ met them. Are you hearing me? Christ met them. There was an encounter that was so supernatural in their life that altered everything about them. It's not just some nice vision. You know, a lot of people can see vision and still be far off. I know so many people who see visions and have encounters and dreams and pictures and all kinds of things, but they're so far away from Him. They don't have the place of encounter. They have sight. Are you hearing me? They have sight, but it's not an encounter that has changed them, transformed them. It's not like the vision that these people had, because it was a vision of the resurrected Christ Himself. It was not a second-hand thing. It was not something distant off. It was not something just in the spirit. Here, Jesus came and met them on a very personal basis, transformed them. Can you say amen to that? I say, can you say amen to that? The second thing about people in revival is this. We find that He spoke to them concerning the kingdom of God. Write this down. People perceive deep insights of the kingdom values and truth. You cannot be people in revival if you don't perceive deep insights of kingdom values and truth. For 40 days and 40 nights, He spoke to them. What did He speak to them about? The kingdom of God. He spoke to them about the kingdom values. He spoke to them about the kingdom concepts. He spoke to them about what the kingdom was all about. But you see, He's going to build the church, but He told them about the kingdom. I can tell you this. If you want to build a great church, build it on kingdom. Build it to extend the kingdom. It will grow. It will manifest. But if you build a church just to get numbers, then you're going to suffer. But if you build a church and understand what it's supposed to do as far as the kingdom is concerned, then you're going to find that the church is going to expand. The people in revival understood the concepts of the kingdom. Amen? The revival is not for themselves. They will revive so that they can carry the kingdom across. They can finish the kingdom plans. They can extend the kingdom into every aspect of society. That's why the first thing they did when they got saved, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they were added to the church, they became part of a kingdom community. You call it church, they call it kingdom community. Because our understanding of church is just numerical. Our understanding of church is institutional. To them was lifestyle. They won't understand this. They won't understand institutional church. Institutional church came through the dark ages. All they understood was community. With me, you, and we all gather together. We gather and we go out there. We extend the kingdom. That's it. To them, everywhere was church. Anywhere was church. House to house was church. Temple to temple was church. Streets was church. In the eating place was church. In the meeting place was church. Marketplace was church. Everywhere was church. To them, that's it. Church was anywhere we gather and move. As long as we're extending the kingdom of God, touching the lives of people everywhere, that's church for them. For us, we go to church. To us, church was institution. But for them, it was a whole community. You're part of my life, I'm part of your life. I will sell anything I have to give to you. You will do anything for me because we are part of this great move that was going to extend the kingdom. So we helped each other to finish the call of God, finish the plans and purposes of God. They understood kingdom. That's why they got anything done, everything done. Any problem they solved, any need they crossed over. There was no one who had needs. It wasn't the job of pastors. They met the needs of each other that somebody had, so that there was no one who had needs among them. You never find pastors trying to solve problem of people's needs. I hope you're breathing. That's why when they came to Book of Acts, when the church had grown, they came and forced the pastors. They said, look, we have need. We want you to do something. The apostles said, look, we can't do that. Our job is to pray and to seek the face of God. You choose among yourself men, solve the needs. Are you hearing me? It was the job of the people to meet the needs of the people. It was the job of the leaders to lead the church into kingdom advancement. That was the need. That was the reason for leadership. Not inward, it was outward. It was always taking everybody out. The captain is different from the maintenance crew. The maintenance crew guy doesn't stand on the deck. He moves from room to room. He is internal. He's working in, making sure that everything is well and fitted and every pipe is functioning. The gas is not leaking and the water is flowing. The plumbing is okay. The electricity is okay. He is a maintenance crew. But the captain on the deck is the one who sees outside how to bring the ship from here to there. That's what he was. So they understood what it was. People in revival always understand kingdom. They know it's out there. We got to get out there and change the world. Change the music in the world. We got to change the education in the world. Change the politics in the world. We got to change everything out there. That's what we are. See, but most of us bring everything in. Don't go out there. Come in. Don't go out there. Come in. So at the end of the day, we capture a company of people and hold them. That's the reason why we have no people breaking forth in revival, because revival is to get out there and do some changes out there, to take the kingdom from here and to influence there, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to deal with those that are lost, to meet friends, to make sure we make connections and touch in every aspect of society. That's what people in revival do, because they understand that people in revival understand kingdom concepts. It spoke to them about the kingdom. That's why the church never stopped growing. Oh, you missed a good place to say amen. The church never stopped growing because they didn't stop with 320. They grew to 3,000, then 5,000, and another 7,000. They kept on growing day by day. The Lord was adding to their number day by day. I'm not talking about growth once in 6 years. Because the whole mind of the Christians is go to church, take whatever he gives. Just for me. That's why you raise a company of selfish people sitting in the church. They eat up everything. They just eat everything. Take the pastor's time. Take the pastor's effort. Take the pastor's blessing. Receive his prayer. Get a hug from him. Receive his prayer. Receive a prophecy. Receive whatever. Get everything the pastor can. At the end of Sunday, the pastor looks like a lean cow. Milk dry. Take everything. Take everything. For me. For me. For me. But the church in that day was different. I'm telling you, the church in that day was different. That's why they came on shaking the world. In the first 200 years of the church history, you find that they spread everywhere from one place to another. From one place to another. They just moved from one place to another. They spread so quickly, spread so fast. They went everywhere. affecting everything that was on the pathway. Everything that was on the pathway. They influenced every aspect of life. They spread so quickly in the first 200 years. Every known part of the world, they had met them. And the gospel had spread. Think about this. How powerful it was. Because they understood them. People in revival understand this more than anything else. They understand not institutional church life. They understand kingdom. A lot of the things that we have is institutional church life. Everything is inwards. No, Sunday morning is to train you so that you can live for Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So that you go out and change your friend. Go out and talk to your neighbors. Go out and change everybody out there to take what is here and begin to sow it into that region. That's what church was all about. You show a testimony. You shine your light before them. And so the lives of people are affected everywhere around about you. Friends, I want you to think seriously. People in revival, they spend those 40 days, 40 nights with the resurrected Christ. He taught them the kingdom. What was the thing that he taught them before his death? The kingdom. What was the thing he taught them after his death? The kingdom. What is he teaching the church today? The kingdom. That's a subject that we got to understand. It's so difficult because the flesh has taken over its place in the temple of God. It's my ministry, it's my call, it's my life. You know, it's everything is centered around me instead of everything centered around the purposes of God. We exist here to finish the Master's will. We exist here to extend His kingdom. We exist here to proclaim His name. When these things become a reality to us, we are people in revival. Can you say amen to that? Number three, people in revival understood corporate destiny. They understood gathering them together in verse 4. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it this time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times and the season which the Father has fixed for his own authority, but you shall receive power from on high, and the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. One of the things that people understand about, you know, when revival hits them is the power of community living. When they gather together, God, the Holy Spirit said, you gather together, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Gather together, because that's a corporate anointing that I'm going to give to you. But it's also for a corporate purpose. I'm going to give you a collective anointing for a corporate purpose. But they thought, for themselves, they thought, well, what about Israel? God said to them, don't worry about Israel. The job is this. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pour my Spirit upon you. And you're going to go from Judea to Samaria to even to the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to take this thing and move on forward. Because in His time, He will begin to restore the nation of Israel. But for now, the church will move out. Are you listening? That's why the church began to move out. Because church is not Jewish. Church is kingdom. Amen. Includes every tribe, every kindred, every race. Are you hearing? Yes. Even though those who started were of Jewish origin. But the church is not Jewish. It's every tribe, every kindred, every race upon the face of the earth. That's what the church is all about. Peter had difficulty trying to understand when God gave him a vision, open up a sheet of all animals and a white sheet, and God said to him, arise, kill and eat. He said, Lord, you know I'm a Jew. I can't eat this food because I'm different. I can't eat this. I can't eat that because Moses said that. God said, I'm telling you, arise, kill and eat. But I'm sorry, Lord, I know you are Jesus, but I remember Moses said we can't do that. What conflicts? You know, when you are so bound culturally, you're just so bound, you just cannot get out of it. No, I can't because I'm this and I'm that. Well, you know, I followed the past like this. But God said, I'm talking to you. I'm the resurrected Christ. What I have cleansed, don't call it unclean. But you see, Peter could not understand. God said to him, Peter, even if you don't understand, never mind, just go. Just go without misunderstanding, just without misgiving, just go. Peter, it's very hard to explain all these things to you because you're so bound culturally. I cannot get this thing through to you. He's an apostle. God gave him a vision, the same vision three times. And see how thick your brains can be sometimes when God keeps speaking to you the same thing again and again and again. I mean, you could be apostle of all apostles. But if your brain is that dumb, it's very hard. God said to him, Peter, go. Just go, Peter. Don't worry about understanding. Forget about your head. Just follow. Follow my directions. Just come with me. And then he gets into Cornelius' house and he begins to preach. What happened? As he's preaching, he's saying, guys, listen. You are Gentiles. I'm Jew. It's dangerous for me to be here. If they find out in Jerusalem what I am doing here, they will hang me. But anyway, I came because I had this vision, but I don't know what it means. But anyway, I'm here. As he was talking, the Bible says, as he was talking, the Holy Spirit fell on the place. Sometimes if God is going to follow everything that's in your head, work never gets done. I thank God that God is beyond your head. Thank God that he is beyond your ignorance, beyond your foolishness. Even our ignorance can be overridden if we just follow him. Don't understand, never mind. Just keep following. You know, it will be okay. But there's a lot of people who don't understand. They stay, refuse to follow. They fight, they argue. But Peter was, at least he has some good qualities in that. Even he did not understand, he still did it. Better to have people like that who don't understand, who fight everything. People in revival understand this. They know for a surety. The whole aspect of kingdom living. They sold their land. They sold their property. We find this. They gather together. They begin to pray. They gather together. Begin to fast. They begin to gather together. Ask for the same thing that the Father had promised all of them. What a strength in this kind of prayer. What a strength in this kind of thing. All of them press in for the same thing. All of them push into God for the same thing. It was not one was dissipated in his mind thinking of something else. Another one thinking of something else. But the people in revival, all of them have a same mind to press into until they see the results. This is what community living is all about. We can see people in revival understand the whole concept of community. We go further. We find in verse 9 onwards. They gathered together. After these things, he was lifted up while they were looking, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white apparel stood beside them, and they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up into the heavens will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Then when they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. And you find all the names of the people were there in verse 14. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It's just amazing how they understood that we are not to part, we are to stay. The whole aspect of community living is so important. You know, people just, you know, well, you know, the two disciples are walking away from Jerusalem. What did Jesus do? He gathered the two, brought the two back. Why? Because something was going to happen. Something was going to happen. I believe that God is bringing the church together more and more so that what he has planned will begin to be given collectively to all of us. Not just as individuals. You see, in the days of old revival, one man got it and he was trying to distribute to everybody. No, no, no. That's not going to be the way it's going to happen. The whole church is going to get it and we're going to go, you know, everywhere, every place. They went everywhere preaching the word of God. In those days, we had revivalists. One man came and tried to stir everybody. The rest of them were dead. One man was alive. You know how difficult that is. But the book of Acts was different. The outpouring was different. We fell upon 120. From 120, it spread to 3,000. From 3,000, it spread to another 5,000, another 7,000. It started to spread by the thousands. Why? Because a collective company of people picked up something in the Holy Ghost. It's more powerful than one man can take. Can you say amen to that? That's why he's bringing a church together to hold them in community understanding so that when they receive something, it is far more than what one man can bring it down. That's why night meetings like this are so essential, when all of us pull things down together. Everybody pressing in to pull everything that we can possibly get. Pull it down together as we gather on Sunday mornings. We are pulling the presence, everything we possibly can. It's not just one man trying to work so hard to get something from heaven and then distribute it to all those chicks. Are you with me? Just a little here. They open their mouth and, you know, you've got to feed a little worm here, a little worm there. No. Oh, I pray that all of us will pull down the presence of God with every ounce of energy. Allow everything that is in the heavens to be brought down. See, they understood community living more than most people today. Why? Because they were a community. They understood tribes. They understood what 12 tribes mean. They understood what 12 tribes will do to form a nation. They understood the position of tribes. They understood what each tribe should be doing. They understood how many tribes were in the north of the tabernacle, how many tribes were in the south of the tabernacle. They knew what it means to act as a tribe, live as a tribe, move as a tribe. That's why God began to work these ingredients into them. So when the outpouring took place, there was no difficulty putting all of them together, including the women. It was later on that we had problems about women in the church. The women had to sit here and the men had to sit there, and they could not meet, they could not talk. There was a division between them. The wife could not do anything. But here we find the mother of Jesus, his brothers, his sisters were all in there. Along with the women. I mentioned one name by specific for specific reasons. Along with the women, it's not just one. The women were all there. I'm sure Mary Magdalene was there. Mary was there. Martha was there, I'm sure. Are you hearing me? I'm sure Joanna was there. There are so many of the other ladies who are mentioned in the Bible. They were all there. Why? Because the Bible tells us when the church began to break out, there was no division between male and female. Because they all understood culture. They all understood what it means to live as a community. And as a community, you have father, mother, son, daughters, grandchildren. Everybody was all there together. That's community living. Today we divide everybody. You know, the male and man have men's fellowship. Women have women's fellowship. Youth have youth fellowship. Children have children. But all of them were all together in the day of Pentecost. That's why he said to them, you shall receive the Holy Spirit, your children, your children's children and children. That simply includes little kids too. The church was a community. They understood all the generational gap was broken by coming into the house of God, embracing it. It's not wrong to have different services, but it's important to think that all of us are going to the same place. Collectively, we are moving to the same direction. Can you say amen to that? This is what people in revival think. Let me give you one last one, and then we're going to spend some time just worshiping God. People in revival understand appointed leadership structure. One of the most dangerous things is to have no structure when revival breaks out. People in revival understand appointed leadership structure. Peter stands up in verse 15. At this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, gathering about 120 persons who were together, and said, verse 16, brethren, the Spirit, the scripture had said, had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who were arrested, Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his share in this ministry. Now this speaks about Judas and how he hung himself. Let's go further in verse 21. Therefore, it is necessary that the man who had accompanied us all this time, that the Lord Jesus Christ went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. They put forth two men, Joseph called Barsabas, who was also called Justus. Can you imagine three names in one? Joseph, Barsabas, and Justus. It's very hard to win an election. I feel sorry for Matthias. Matthias was just one name. You put Joseph, Barsabas, Justus. You know, if you have three choices and one choice, I'm sure Matthias will lose. But God had his way. And they prayed and said, yes, Lord, you know the hearts of all men, which one of these two you have chosen to occupy the ministry and the apostleship, with Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they drew lots for them. And the Lord fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. I tell you, when you have three names, you confuse people. For election is very dangerous. God had his way. He intervened and he got Matthias in. All right, Barsabas. All right, he was Joseph, called Barsabas, but he was also called Justice. If you have common people trying to vote, they don't know it's Joseph or Barsabas or Justice. They thought it's three different people. For all the three that you mark, he still gets the point. I'm just talking about something outside of what is here. Hey, listen. There must be proper appointed leadership before it breaks out. Every time it breaks out, you look in the 900s, when the revival began to break out, when leadership structure was not strong, it split between racial lines. In the Azusa Street revival, then one broke out and went to Azusa, another one went forward to Topeka, Kansas. And what happened? There was black and white issues, racial issues began to break out. Everywhere there's a move of God that is going to break out, my friends, there must be clear, established leadership structure. Without a proper leadership structure, everything is going to go haywire. I know there are so many people who are saying, well, God moves, let him just move. We just stand aside and let God do anything. That's true. It's true. It is very true. And that's what we should have. It's a great attitude. But God always works through leadership that he has appointed. When he took them out of Egypt, they didn't just come out like herds. They were led. When they went into the promised land, they didn't just run around like cattle that were set free from the barn. No, they all were led. You cannot enter into revival until you are led. There must be some structure that is going to be established well inside the house where there are leaders, there are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, pastors and teachers and leaders and deacons and elders and proper establishing of structure so that when the move of God goes in, everybody knows their line of expertise. They will know their function, their role. Can you say amen to that? People in revival are in that place where they really know who is who. Who is established? Where is the place of authority? Where is the place of accountability? Where is the place of responsibility? Which is the sphere where I must be involved? Where must I come under? What must I do? Who do I report to? Because in every army, there must be something of a structure so that you can have the communication lines and the command lines. Is that true? Yes. But we cannot fight that. You see, when people begin to fight their own leaders, you put cell group leaders and they will rise to attack the cell group leaders. What's going to happen? You're going to have a problem. You put pastors there and the board will begin to attack the pastors. You're going to have a problem. You put a committee there and there is the pastor. The committee attacks the pastor. Once the lines of authority are broken, the enemy will come in like a tide. In the home, the husband is there. The wife is there. The wife and the children start to fight against the husband. What's going to happen? You're going to create chaos in the spirit world. That's why before the move of God begins, God wants to establish clear leadership structural lines so that in the spirit you know those who are above you and those who are below you, those who are around about you. What is your role to those above? What is your role to those below? What is your role among those who are around about you? So that when you understand this, then you can work very effectively. Look at in chapter 3, we find that Peter and John go into the temple together and created one miracle. They were not interested in a name. They did it together. Can you imagine? One miracle was created by two men. Today everybody wants to do it on their own because they want their name on the slate. But Peter and John labored together to see one man heal. Are you hearing me? There was no competition. There was no struggle. As long as the job was done, it does not matter who was doing it. What an attitude. What an attitude. What a desire to just see the work done. There was nobody who was involved as a name. Oh, well, I actually did it more than you, John. You were just waiting. I am the one who spoke to him. Put my name in it. You know, you just stand aside. You were just standing there doing nothing anyway. I'm the one who stretched out the hand. And so John said, I couldn't because you put your hand out first. And so all this argument, and they try to submit a report to the house. John writes his own report. You know, Peter writes his own report. He said, I was the one who did it. John said, I wanted to do it myself. I could have done it without Peter. What are you going to have? You're going to have a church in chaos. Are you hearing me? We must understand structure that's going to, family structures, church structures, leadership structures, structures in the city, structures in the nation, so that the Spirit of God can begin to move sovereignly. I believe this is some things that we need to understand. Tonight, as we press into His presence, I want you to think, we are people in revival. We're waiting for the outpouring. I said, we are people in revival waiting for the outpouring. Yeah, we're not just asking for revival. We're already revived. We're already in our Acts chapter 1. We are seeing God doing things in our hearts. We are seeing Him manifesting Himself. We are seeing leadership structures over our lives. We're not wayward. We're not callous. We're not running around doing crazy things on our own and everything stems out from us. No, authority doesn't come from you. It comes from above. There must be proper connections, and we can see how these people in revival, they were passionately pursuing the things of the Spirit. That's another thing that you can write down if you want to. I'm just going to close this. People in revival are passionately pursuing the things of the Spirit. Prayer, worship, crying out to God together, fasting. The dimensions of the Spirit is so important. People in revival, somehow their spirits are charged. That's why prayer was an easy thing for them to do. Fasting was easy. Crying out to God was very easy. Why? Because this was the dimension that was really rising on the inside of their hearts. A real passion inside their spirit for the things of the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? I say, can you say amen to that? I say, people in revival, that's what they do. They can pray. They can push into the things of the Spirit. You can see that right in this chapter. You can find even in chapter 2, they were crying out to God, ministering to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit suddenly came upon the entire house. Can you say amen to that? Amen. This is what's going to happen, friends. We are not waiting for revival. Revival has already begun. We're waiting for the outpouring because now we are not waiting alone. Everyone been sorted out. All right, Judas, he is left. Now we brought in Matthias. Now everything is sorted out. All is in its proper place. That's what revival is all about. Bringing everything in. We have been revived. We've been challenged. We've been motivated. We have been built. We've been now coming to the upper room. So that collectively we can receive something from heaven. In the next 10 days that we have, next 7 days that we have, we graduate next Tuesday. All right, the next 7 days that we have, just prepare yourself. Prepare your whole heart that God will collectively pour things into our spirit so that we can carry and contain it together as a company of people and take it back to the ends of the earth. Yes. Can you say amen to that? Yes. This is what it means to be people in revival. Once people come into revival and they have been established and challenged, it's so easy because God is going to establish them well so that He can pour His Spirit and take them out to the nations of the earth. Amen. Are you ready to go? I said, are you ready to go?
Yes.
Just in this season and time, let's just press into God.